Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Good snowy morning to you. Pat Bostick here with Panthers Insider. We'll be here for the next hour every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. on the home of the Pitt Panthers, 93.7 The Fan. Taking your calls today, 412-928-9370. Give me a ring. Let's talk some Pitt hoops, some Pitt football, whatever you'd like to talk. A lot going on this weekend, NFL wild card weekend. So some great games to watch this weekend. A long weekend with Martin Luther King Day. Should be a relaxing one and a great weekend for football. But it was a very eventful week for Pitt athletics. We'll talk Pitt hoops. I was down in Durham with the Pitt Panthers, hosting some great folks down there and watching a great basketball game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Obviously, the Panthers fell short, had a cold second half. We'll talk about what happened in that game. Took in Jeff Capel's radio show on Thursday night and really diagnosed the shortcomings in that game, which really amount to the rebounding and the glass, the offensive glass for the Blue Devils. Big game today at Georgia Tech. Panthers finish up a road trip here next week at Louisville. So Georgia Tech, Louisville, and then come home on Saturday against Florida State with an opportunity really to run off three wins in a row here, but easier said than done. We'll talk Pitt hoops in segment two. Segment three, going to welcome Chris Peek from Panther Lair to talk Pitt football this offseason, recruiting, not specific recruiting, but just in generalities. Talk about the new additions to this roster, particularly the WPIAL. Natives that have returned to Pitt and how they factor in for this 2023 Pitt football season. We're only a couple months away from spring practice. So the players are in, they're lifting weights, they're training, they're in class, and 2023 will be here before we know. We'll detail that with Chris Peek later in the show around 8:40. So a lot to cover today, but I want to start. I saw a tweet yesterday from there's this account, Boomer Sooner, I guess, that ranks everything. And they rank the top 50 collegiate athletic directors. And I was stunned to see that Heather Lake was not included on that list. Now, again, let me preface this. I don't know who runs that account. I don't know what their sense of professionalism is. I don't know how much they actually know. They seem to gain some traction. I see a lot of Pitt fans retweeting them when they discuss Pitt related items or rank a player or coach in their top 50 or what have you. But for Heather Lake to not be included in that is pretty blasphemous if you ask me. And I want to talk today, this first segment, about the job she's done since arriving in 2017. I saw a lot of Pitt fans getting around this on Twitter last night because they saw the same tweet I did. You know, when she arrived in 2017, you know, obviously that was, the ensuing football season was not the best one, and Pat Narduzzi was going into his third season at Pitt. Volleyball had yet to kind of emerge as a true power, but they were consistently very good and tournament qualified, but not the number one seed, number two seed they've been these past few years. Certainly men's soccer was in the early stages of the Jay Vidovich resurgence. Women's soccer was struggling. And I want to fast forward now 5 years and talk about the Learfield Directors' Cup fall standings and Pitt finishing tied sixth. Now, that may not mean anything to you, the Learfield Directors' Cup. And what that is, just to refresh you, for those of you tuned in this morning, the Learfield Directors' Cup is a measure of comprehensive excellence. It's something that Heather's talked about from day one since she arrived here, is being good at everything. And it factors in a point system for conference performance, winning your conference. It factors in an algorithm for postseason qualification, postseason advancement, individual champions, all sorts of things. I'm not going to belabor the point structure. But Pitt finished sixth in the fall standings, which is a significant jump, the highest Pitt has ever been by a long shot. And Pitt has performed well in the fall before under Heather. I mean, the last few years, Pitt has continued to rise in Director's Cup. The spring sports, obviously you get some schools with a more broad sports sponsorship or powerful baseball programs or what have you. Things tend to even out a little bit, but I want to buzz over this fall real quick. Two NCAA qualifiers in cross country. That is not a commonality, and I want to give that program a lot of credit. Brad's done a great job evaluating talent, and two NCAA qualifiers is a huge kudos to them. Two Final Four appearances in men's soccer and women's volleyball. And both those programs have been there before and are looking to crack into that championship game. And we know that the Panthers gave Louisville all they had and then some in that Final Four match. But to advance to the Final Four with two programs, it's rarefied air. Very, very uncommon. And the Panthers continue to do it, not only this year, but they've done it before. Three Sweet 16 appearances. Women's soccer probably made the most significant jump this year. And Randy Waldrum, shout out to him, just received a contract extension through 2027. Extremely well-deserved. We've talked about that before on this show. Those two coaches, Jay Vidovich, Randy Waldrum, top of the line. I mean, Mount Rushmore types in college soccer. Very fortunate to have them at the Peterson Sports Complex at Ambrose Urbanic Field. He's leading these programs. And women's soccer has a lot coming back for 2023. So there's certainly reason to believe that will continue. And then it's obviously football. Obviously this football program has continued to be consistent, continued to challenge for the ACC championship. Obviously this year there was a lot of promise going into the season. There were some early season, kind of early middle part of the year, some turmoil. Panthers sat at 4-4 in October, consecutive losses to Louisville and North Carolina. Obviously, that disappointing loss to Georgia Tech. But finished the year, rattled off five straight, and won the Sun Bowl and finished in the top 25 for the second consecutive year, winning 20 games in two seasons. Now, again, hiring coaches, Randy Waldrum, perfect example. Extending and keeping Dan Fisher after multiple overtures from very, very quality, high-level programs. And I think what people don't see about what Heather has done, and I have a fortunate to have a somewhat of a front-row seat, is the culture and the level of investment in all these programs. Obviously, there's the facility investment that's happened across the board, but you know, budget analysis, making sure that, you know, these programs have what they need to compete at the highest level and to win championships. So they can be evaluated on par with where Pitt should be in the national scene. Heather's really elevated the level of Pitt athletics. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And it's not an easy job. Pitt is not an easy job. This is not a place that's had comprehensive excellence. If you go back to, some would say, the heydays. I mean, Pitt has had some storied tradition in wrestling and track and field and so forth. I don't want to diminish that. But even if you go as recently as 08 and 09, when Pitt had, you know, number one seeds in men's basketball and top 25 teams in football, if you looked across the board and go back and look at those schedules, the records in some of the other sports were not necessarily something to write home about. There were sporadic success maybe a year or two. You know, women's basketball had a nice run. But now you're seeing a level of success across multiple programs that is not only unprecedented, but it's sustainable. And I think for my money, that that just is a huge example of the job that Heather Lyk has done at Pitt. And for any ranking system to not include her near the top is bogus in my estimation. But a huge credit to all the programs that contributed to that top six finish in the Director's Cup standings for the fall. Just a great story, historic, and something that certainly Heather, the entire staff, all those student-athletes, Pitt Panther Nation should be proud of. I mean, you look at even anecdotally, going to games and think about the last 2 years and the fall in the last 2 years, multiple Final Fours, sold out Fitzgerald Fieldhouse, sold out standing room only Ambrose Urbanek Field, marquee games, championship games at Heinz Field, now Acrisure Stadium, Heisman Trophy finalists, first team unanimous All-Americans in football, draft picks. The brand of Pitt Athletics is on the rise. It's on the rise. And now, as we transition truly into winter, as I look at the white ground outside, now it's time to continue that. And I think we'd be doing an injustice if we didn't say that men's basketball has a huge opportunity here these next four games to solidify their stance and their potential to qualify for the NCAA tournament. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but again, I've watched this team enough, and I've been at every game almost for the last five seasons or six seasons, and probably beyond that. And the level of play is certainly there. We'll talk about the Duke game next. The matchup today with Georgia Tech. We'll take your calls, 412-928-9370. Want to hear from you on everything we're talking about so far. Talk about Pitt Athletics in general, talk about Pitt Hoops, your questions, your concerns. If you want to delve into football, talk about football. We're going to have Chris Peek on later. But I want to talk about this Pitt basketball team. Talk about this game today with Georgia Tech, 3 o'clock, Billy Hillgrove, Curtis Aiken, with a call down at McCamish Pavilion in Georgia Tech in Atlanta. And we'll do that next. You're listening to Panther Insider right here on 93.7 The Fan.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Panthers Insider rolls on this Saturday morning. We're here every Saturday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. on The Fan. Talk them hit hoops now, but before we dive into the Duke game and jump into the numbers, let's head out to Tony. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, Pat. Just want to say great show. Listen to it every Saturday. Keep up the tremendous work.
Thanks, man.
I have a quick football comment. I'm just a little upset about James Franklin and what he did as far as ranking Pitt in the final coaches poll. I don't know when he's going to start thinking about the good of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And if you think Pitt's that bad, then why don't you add him to your week out-of-conference schedule every year? If you think we're such a team below Penn State. I mean, Pitt had one of the last 2 years, we got to be in the top 10 of the best record in college football out of a Power 5 conference. And looking at Penn State's out-of-conference schedule, of course, they play many more home games than they do away games every year. And, you know, I don't care about Auburn this year, who they beat at Auburn. Auburn was probably the weakest they've been in 30 years. So I just don't understand why he couldn't rank Pitt in the top 25. We had 10 players out of the UCLA game. They only had one starter out. And, yeah, it was a close game, but still Pitt came out ahead. And that's my comment on football. On the basketball part, do you know any update on when we're going to get our inside game going better? I mean, we got outscored 34-14 in the paint against Clemson. I'm not sure what it was against Duke. It was a poor second half. I hope we can come back today, and I'll let you take it over. Thanks, Pat.
Well, Tony, I appreciate your call. I'll start with the meteor one, which is the Pat Narduzzi, James Franklin back and forth, which is I don't know how intentional. I mean, it certainly to not rank Pitt and to rank UCLA, I think is telling. Again, I'm not sure what the beef is. Again, I've been on record before. I think the game needs to be played every year. The Commonwealth needs it. I think both programs continue to need it, despite the attendance records and sales and so forth at Beaver Stadium. It brings more eyeballs. The Pitt-Penn State rivalry is a long-standing one, and I think it brings people together, and it puts all eyes on the state of Pennsylvania. Now, to be fair, Pat Narduzzi also ranked Penn State ninth. So I'm not sure if there was some jabs going both directions, but clearly this is a rivalry. I think so much is true. However, it's not being contested on the playing field right now, and hopefully that's something that the powers that be, and not even at either school, but perhaps at the state level, can really look at, because I think the economic impact, certainly when it comes to Pittsburgh, is different. And I do think the attention it garners nationally merits consideration when playing the game. But again, I tend to agree with you, Tony. I'm not sure how Pitt doesn't get ranked in the top 25 after beating UCLA shorthanded. Relative to basketball, I'm not sure, when John Hughley's going to return. I don't think Jeff Capel is. He said he didn't know prior to the Duke game. And, that's certainly a reason for concern. Obviously, John had an injury. Obviously, John had to rehab and come back from that injury. Didn't feel like potentially he was where he wanted to be. Had some other things, other personal considerations he needed to tend to. And not privy to his status in terms of coming back. I know he's certainly being cared for by Pitt and is being given space to handle what he needs to handle. Jeff Capel has said so much, but certainly they miss him. They miss a veteran size, on the interior to deal with some of the bigger guys in this league. Baycott had his way early against Pitt. Sans John Hughley, Clemson, obviously, you detailed, Tony, the 34-14 advantage in the paint. And when you look at, the Duke game and the 24 offensive rebounds that Duke had, you can't help but point to the fact that, they are just... with Duke, you've got multiple seven-footers in the game at the same time, one of which can play on the perimeter and really can shoot and can score off the dribble. Drove a couple times, talking about Filipowski. And when they shot from the perimeter, the ball seemed to end up in their hands if it didn't go in the bucket. And it comes down to, I do think there was a significant size advantage. I sat just behind the Pitt bench and could see it. but also how this team needs to rebound. And they've been very good rebounding up until the Clemson game, with the exception of the Vanderbilt game, which they also lost by one. They were, even if not somewhat ahead in the rebounding department, in conference play. And it was coming from a lot of different areas. Nate Santos would get rebounds, Jamarius Burton, Greg Elliott's been solid on the boards. They need to rebound from 1 to 5. Obviously, when you look at the general just physical thickness of their post players, you know, which essentially right now are, you know, I'm not sure that Blake Hinson qualifies as a true post, although he will defend down there. He's certainly a, you know, girthier in terms of being able to body up. But you know, Federico and Guillermo Diaz Graham are pretty slight and got bodied around a little bit. I think Federico's playing tremendous, but certainly a year in the weight room would be you know, of assistance to him. I'm not saying he's a weak player, but you know, experience and strength are something that come with time. And you know, 24 offensive boards, it's going to be hard to win. You know, especially if you look at every other statistical category in that Duke game, Panthers essentially run it. You won the game. I mean, if you take away the rebounding statistic, which would be unrealistic, you know, the Panthers shot a better percentage. They turned the ball over less. You know, they dominated the first half. And I thought defended really well on first shot defense. It was second shot defense that was their Achilles. Because once that ball got down low and stayed down low, it wasn't coming out, you know, except for beyond the baseline after a made bucket. So that's really the story of the game. I also thought in that Duke game, the length came through with a defensive switch that Jeff Capel talked about that John Shire and the Duke Blue Devils made, and switching 1 through 5. It really clogged the lane up for penetration, because this team right now, this Pitt team right now, they're not getting consistent inside touches. They'll get inside touches on rim runs and pick and roll, but they're not getting consistent post-up opportunities. Jamarius Burton did it a bit against Carolina. Hinson can do it, but they're not getting consistent inside touches to collapse the defense. So they're relying on collapsing the defense and breaking down rotations with dribble penetration. And when you're switching a ball screen and you've got 7 foot, potentially with athleticism and a, you know, I don't know what the wingspan was, it's very difficult to beat those guys off the dribble. And you saw a lot of one-on-one play and contested shots in the second half. I know, contested shots, you know, mid-range jump shots that, frankly, you know, Nike Sabande and Jamarius Burton and Nelly Cummings made in the first half, but didn't make in the second half. And credit Duke for that. But I just don't know that, you know, right now this team can rely upon the inside game. They're going to have to find different ways to break the defense down. And really, when you look at it, I think that you could watch the first 10 seconds or 12 seconds of a possession for Pitt and just watching the game and know whether it's going to be a good shot or not. It really depends on how much dribbling is going on. When this team moves the ball, they've got so many guys that can shoot. You know, whether it's Cummings, whether it's Burton, whether it's Sabande, whether it's Elliott, whether it's Hinson from the 4 spot, you know, coming off the bench, Santos, man, they look good coming off his hand. They're just not going in right now. You know, Guillermo Diaz Graham can shoot it. He's certainly a guy that can make a mid-range jump shot or a 3-pointer in a time of need. Federico is the only guy on the floor that's not a threat to shoot from beyond the arc. So they do stretch the defense out, but they got to find a way to break it down. And certainly you want the ball in Jamarius or Nelly's hands to start the possession, but really moving the ball started to stick in the second half. We saw a lot more one-on-one play. The good news is today the Panthers will take on Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech's not a man-to-man defense team. They kind of play an amoeba-style defense. It's a matchup zone. I don't know how quite to describe it. It's given the Panthers trouble in the years past with teams that couldn't shoot. This Panthers team can shoot. They haven't been as hot as they were earlier in the year right now, but they're going to get some open looks today. And you look at this upcoming schedule for Pitt, and it's ripe with opportunity. You know, I think everyone gets mired down right now in 2-game losing streak. It's mid-January. what's going to happen to Pitt this year, right? Because it's happened in the past. Let's call a spade. This team has not performed well consistently, you know, in the middle to the end of conference play. It's something they're trying to get off their back. I think the makeup of this team is different. That is no doubt. The experience level is significantly higher. The toughness, the way they play, I think is much more sustainable. But if you would have told me that starting conference play in earnest, on the road at Syracuse, home against Carolina and Virginia, two preseason top 10 teams, home against Clemson and at Duke, that Pitt would go 3-2 in that five-game stretch, I would have taken it. I would have absolutely taken it. Because we know what 500 or above in this league can do. I mean, it almost assures you an opportunity to play in the postseason and pretty close to guarantees you a shot to get into 64. So 3-2 in this last five-game stretch, if you cut that off, now you're going towards, right now, you know, what looks to be the bottom of the league. And again, that can change. I don't want to make any assumptions. But Georgia Tech on the road, Louisville on the road. Georgia Tech's 500, Louisville is 2-15. Louisville is a shadow of themselves. They're playing better. They're more competitive. I don't want to diminish their ability to compete. And that is not an easy place to play. But those are two very winnable games. Come home, Florida State's down. Home game at the Peterson Event Center on January 21st. And then another home game at the Pete, the second of three straight home games against Wake Forest, and then obviously a very talented Miami team coming in on January 28th. So really this next four games, you've got an opportunity sitting here right now at 4-2 in conference play with losses to Duke and Clemson consecutively. You could be looking at 8-2 in league play, which last time I checked, you played 20 league games. So you're getting close to that 500 mark already. Again, one at a time. I'm going to assume the coaching mentality here, but basketball within a game is a game of runs. A season is a run, a season of runs as well. And you kind of have to break it up if you're really going to be pragmatic about how to get to a position to play in the postseason. You know, there are segments of the schedule that you've got to perform at a certain clip. I think they exceeded expectations with the first six, really, beating NC State. 4-2 in league play to kick things off. Not and playing Duke and Clemson and some preseason, you know, obviously Virginia, some preseason favorites. Now you get to the meat of the schedule, coming off two straight losses, but playing what many believe to be the weaker part of your conference schedule. So very interesting, going to be very telling this next couple weeks, and a huge opportunity for Pitt basketball starts today at 3:00, McCamish Pavilion, Atlanta, Georgia. Pitt, Georgia Tech will be on the ACC Network. Bill Hillgrove, Curtis Aiken will have the call here on 93.7 The Fan, the home of the Pitt Panthers, Pitt Panther Radio Network. We'll look forward to listening to that. And also come back, we're going to transition, talk a little Pitt football. We're going to summarize 2022 with Chris Peake. We're going to put that season to bed. Want to talk about some off-season acquisitions, how that process will continue to develop. Take a look at this Pitt roster, strengths, weaknesses, this 2023 schedule. We'll cover it all with Chris Peake. He's from Panther Lair. He's an expert. He covers it from the beginning to the end. We look forward to talking to him next. You're listening to Panthers Insider on the home of the Pitt Panthers, 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Panthers Insider. We go out to the hotline for another Panthers Insider, and the brains behind PantherLair.com, one of the best to do it, covers Pitt football, Pitt basketball, from soup to nuts, Chris Peake. Chris, how you doing this morning?
Good, Pat. What's going on?
You shovel your driveway yet here in lovely Mount Lebanon?
Not yet. I left the car in the driveway, so there's a whole patch that doesn't need to be shoveled because it was under the car. So you got to think ahead on that.
You know, I do the same thing. We got two cars. We got a double wide driveway now that we moved away from you. So I got double less to shovel. But I want to, you know, obviously you come on the program a lot with the pregame show, and we detail a lot of things analytics related. But looking back at 2022, I would just ask you to how do you evaluate the 2022 season? Obviously, we know how the Panthers closed it, but there's been a lot of people that said it was a missed opportunity. Disappointing has been a word that's used. How do you categorize 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I would use those words. I would say a missed opportunity. I would say kind of disappointing. I mean, I think when you think, you know, look at expectations of where they were before the season, which I think were realistic expectations, particularly when you see how they lost. You know what I mean? They end up with two losses in November in Georgia Tech and Louisville that shouldn't have happened. I mean, they should have won those games, and it is disappointing because that's the difference between, you know, 8-4 and the Sun Bowl and, you know, going, you know, potentially 10-2. Getting another trip to Charlotte and, you know, maybe ending up on a New Year's Six Bowl 2 years in a row. We talk about, you know, oh, they finished ranked in the top 25 2 years in a row for the first time in 40 years, and that's great, but they could have had two New Year's Six Bowls, you know, 2 years in a row, and it's disappointing because of the opportunity that was there, and it's not like they needed to do anything crazy, you know, or play way above their heads. They just had to beat Georgia Tech, which was, you know, probably one of the worst losses we've seen from Pitt under Pat Narduzzi, and I would say the Louisville game was absolutely one that got away as well. Their defense played well enough to win both of those games, and quite frankly, I mean, the offense blew it. So it's disappointing, but then you can kind of go the other way too, like you said about how they finished. I mean, they win five in a row. I don't think anyone expected them to go from 4-4 to 9-4. I mean, that's a heck of a turnaround, a really good finish, and they played some quality teams in there too. I mean, the game at Miami. It's not our grandpa's Hurricanes, but it was still a good win on the road. And then, you know, the Sun Bowl, Duke's a quality team. I mean, they had some good wins in there. So disappointing, but an encouraging finish, I guess, is how I would say it.
Yeah, and you really detailed the Georgia Tech and Louisville games. Obviously, those games featured multiple red zone turnovers. Obviously, I think if you would have come out of the first half of Tennessee not knowing that Keaton Slovis wasn't going to return, I don't think you could have fast-forwarded to the month of December thinking you had to retool the quarterback position moving into 2023. You may have had to recruit and get a couple supplementary backup guys, but obviously what came to pass was inconsistent quarterback play for the remainder of the season. And you look at this quarterback room now versus before the season and the job. I know you know Frank Signetti, as do I, with Phil Dracovic and Christian Velu, and obviously Nate Yarnell still a factor. Ty Dieffenbach, I mean, what do you make of the job they've done, you know, kind of replenishing that room? What do you make of that competition going into 2023? Because I think it's more of a fight than people realize.
Yeah, I mean, they totally rebuilt it. I'll give them credit for that. You know, they needed three things, right? I mean, they needed a veteran transfer to come in and, you know, presumably be the starter right away. They needed a high school kid who could come in and be the future after a few years of development. And then they needed sort of a kind of a mid-range transfer, a young transfer who could come in and, you know, presumably be the starter starting in 2024. And they really hit all three of those spots. You know, Ty Dieffenbach seems like a pretty intriguing prospect out of California as a high school kid, probably a step down from Kenny Minchie, the guy that they had committed, who ended up going to Notre Dame. But I mean, you know, you'll have this sometimes. So they found a guy that Frank Cinetti seems pretty intrigued with, seems to like his potential and his ceiling. You know, Dracovic, it's funny, I was thinking about this the other day, Pat, when Pitt has brought in transfer quarterbacks to be the starter, I feel like the last couple of times they've done it, they did it when they didn't really have an offensive coordinator in place, right? They brought in Max Brown in between Matt Canada and Sean Watson. They brought in, you know, Keaton Slovis in between Mark Whipple and Frank Cignetti. Now they're bringing in Phil Dracovic with Signetti already in place, and it's a transfer quarterback that was sort of handpicked by the existing offensive coordinator. And I don't think that's unimportant, because when you talk about fit for the offense and fit for the team and all that stuff, I mean, he's got the seal of approval from Frank Signetti, who worked with him for a couple of years at Boston College. So you would think that you're giving yourself a better chance of success than they've had the last couple of times they've brought in transfer quarterbacks to kind of take over the offense. And then, you know, Christian Vieira coming out of Penn State, you know, pretty high pedigree guy coming out of high school. Obviously saw the writing on the wall in State College that he wasn't going to get that opportunity. So we went looking for a new spot. And yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he's coming in saying I'm going to be the backup in 2023. I think he intends to fight for it and try and battle Phil Dracovic for that starting job this spring. But you know, just the overall job of just rebuilding the room. I mean, it's a completely different room than it was a year ago. It's got a completely different look, and you know, I'm intrigued to see how it works out for him.
Talking to Chris Peek from Panther Lair, and one of the things Chris does best is follow recruiting, and certainly not only locally, but the Rivals Network nationally. I want to ask you a question And it's something that's been referenced as, you know, a portend of the future with the transfer portal. You know, Pitt obviously picks up Phil Dracovic. This is his third school, but he's back home. Donovan McMillan returns home. Obviously, there are others out there that have not chosen a home yet, but we look even a couple years back to MJ Devonshire. Do you see the WPIAL circuitous route to coming back to Pitt being a common thread moving forward? And if so, why?
It's been interesting to see. I mean, you know, you mentioned Devonshire already did it. Johnny Patrician did it too, went to Penn State for a couple years and came back. And then they have a few guys coming in this year. I think there's two ways it could go. I think the impact it can have on your local recruiting. Because we know, I mean, Pitt has lost a lot of guys out of, you know, the local recruiting scene over the past few years. They get guys here and there, but, you know, they lost guys like Dracovic and McMillan, and, you know, you can go back through the classes and see the guys who sort of got away. And I think when you have these local guys who go away and then transfer back home and have success, I think there's a couple impacts it can have. On one hand, I think some of the local young guys, up-and-coming high school recruits, can look at it and say, huh, maybe MJ Devonshire should have just gone to Pitt in the first place instead of, you know, messing around in Kentucky for a couple years. Maybe Johnny Patrician should have gone to Pitt in the first place, or Dracovic or McMillan or whoever. And maybe that influences them to go to Pitt in the first place. Then the flip side is maybe they look at it and say, well, I could still go out, see the world, go play in the SEC or the Big Ten or wherever, and if it doesn't work out, I can always come home to Pitt like MJ did or Johnny did or Phil did. So I think it could be, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how it kind of influences things, if it has an impact on some of the young recruits who are coming up. But it does provide that opportunity. And the biggest thing, honestly, I think, is that it just gives Pitt more, reason not to burn bridges. Like, if a local kid doesn't commit to you, okay, you don't need to trash him. You don't need to be mean about him. You don't have to have a subtweet or anything like that. Just, you know, wish him well, let him go, and then if he wants to come home in a couple of years, you have an opportunity to get a good player. And I think that's, I don't know if Pat Narduzzi is going to take that lesson out of it, but it's probably like, you know, it's the same thing with decommitments or transfers or kids who get away, any of these things. Like, don't burn bridges, because there are enough ways for guys to come back around, things to come full circle, that you got to, you know, keep those doors open all the time.
You know, looking at traditional recruiting, you know, obviously this was a year in which there were some decommitments. I think the high school class kind of, it had finished up, you know, probably with a little less spunk than maybe they wanted. But there are some really good players that are in this class that I think have a chance to make an impact. And I wanted to ask you kind of your opinion when you look at guys like Jordan Bass, you know, some of the young receivers coming in. Who are some guys in this recruiting class, this 2023 class, that you think have a chance to make an instant impact?
I mean, as far as instant impact, I mean, I think, you know, the receivers will definitely be, you know, a position that you look at. They just don't have a lot of numbers there right now. I think they're almost going to have to count on a freshman or two. I think, last Saturday, the Pitt coaches were at the game, and they had some of these early enrolling guys. And Lamar Seymour, the kid from Miami, was there, and he's bigger than I expected. I forget, we list him at like 6 foot. He's got to be 6'1 or 6'2. He's a good size receiver. I think kind of an underrated receiver in the state of Florida. It's sort of a testament to the talent in Florida that this kid is only a 3-star. He's a really good player, and I think he's going to have a chance there. Jordan Bass is certainly somebody to keep an eye on. We'll see how the depth at linebacker comes together, but he was just a flat out stud at his high school in Virginia, led him to a state championship. I don't think he lost a game in like 2 years or something like that. He's a great player. Isaiah Neal is a really interesting guy. He's a defensive tackle, an undersized defensive tackle out of Baltimore. I don't know if he'll find a role this season, but he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on for the future. And then, you know, I think we've all come to just sort of accept that this staff is going to do a good job in defensive back recruiting, and they did it again. I mean, Shadarian Harrison out of Florida is really good. Jesse Anderson out of Florida is really good. I think those two guys, and again, you have good depth in the secondary. You might not need them as freshmen, but they might be good enough to get their, you know, get themselves.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Panthers Insider. We go out to the hotline for another Panthers Insider, and the brains behind PantherLair.com, one of the best to do it, covers Pitt football, Pitt basketball, from soup to nuts, Chris Peake. Chris, how you doing this morning?
Good, Pat. What's going on?
You shovel your driveway yet here in lovely Mount Lebanon?
Not yet. I left the car in the driveway, so there's a whole patch that doesn't need to be shoveled because it was under the car. So
that's,
you got to think ahead on that.
You know, I do the same thing. We got two cars. We got a double wide driveway now that we moved away from you, so I got double less to shovel. But I want to, you know, obviously you come on the program a lot with the pregame show, and we detail a lot of things analytics related. But looking back at 2022, I would just ask you to how do you evaluate the 2022 season? Obviously, we know how the Panthers closed it, but there's been a lot of people that said it was a missed opportunity. Disappointing has been a word that's used. How do you categorize 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I would use those words. I would say a missed opportunity. I would say kind of disappointing. I mean, I think when you think, look at expectations of where they were before the season, which I think were realistic expectations, particularly when you see how they lost. You know what I mean? They end up with two losses in November in Georgia Tech and Louisville that shouldn't have happened. I mean, they should have won those games, and it is disappointing because that's the difference between 8-4 and the Sun Bowl, and going potentially 10-2. Getting another trip to Charlotte and, maybe ending up on a New Year's Six Bowl 2 years in a row. We talk about, they've finished ranked in the top 25 2 years in a row for the first time in 40 years, and that's great, but they could have had two New Year's Six Bowls, 2 years in a row. And it's disappointing because of the opportunity that was there. And it's not like they needed to do anything crazy, or play way above their heads. They just had to beat Georgia Tech, which was, probably one of the worst losses we've seen from Pitt under Pat Narduzzi, and I would say the Louisville game was absolutely one that got away as well. Their defense played well enough to win both of those games, and quite frankly, I mean, the offense blew it. So it's disappointing, but then you can kind of go the other way too, like you said about how they finished. I mean, they win 5 in a row. I don't think anyone expected them to go from 4-4 to 9-4. I mean, that's a heck of a turnaround, a really good finish, and they played some quality teams in there too. I mean, the game at Miami It's not our grandpa's Hurricanes, but it was still a good win on the road. And then the Sun Bowl, Duke's a quality team. I mean, they had some good wins in there. So disappointing, but an encouraging finish, I guess is how I would say it.
Yeah, and you really detailed the Georgia Tech and Louisville games. Obviously, those games featured multiple red zone turnovers. Obviously, I think if you would have come out of the first half of Tennessee not knowing that Keaton Slovis wasn't going to return, I don't think you could have fast-forwarded to the month of December thinking you had to retool the quarterback position moving into 2023. You may have had to recruit and get a couple supplementary backup guys, but obviously what came to pass was inconsistent quarterback play for the remainder of the season. And you look at this quarterback room now versus before the season and the job. I know you know Frank Cignetti, as do I, with Phil Dracovic and Christian Velu, and obviously Nate Yarnell still a factor. Ty Dieffenbach, I mean, what do you make of the job they've done, you know, kind of replenishing that room? What do you make of that competition going into 2023? Because I think it's more of a fight than people realize.
Yeah, I mean, they totally rebuilt it. I'll give them credit for that. You know, they needed three things, right? I mean, they needed a veteran transfer to come in and, you know, presumably be the starter right away. They needed a high school kid who could come in and be the future after a few years of development. And then they needed sort of a kind of a mid-range transfer, a young transfer who could come in and, you know, presumably be the starter starting in 2024. And they really hit all three of those spots. Ty Dieffenbach seems like a pretty intriguing prospect out of California as a high school kid, probably a step down from Kenny Minchie, the guy that they had committed who ended up going to Notre Dame. But, I mean, you know, you'll have this sometimes. So they found a guy that Frank Cignetti seems pretty intrigued with, seems to like his potential and his ceiling. Dracovic, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day, Pat. When Pitt has brought in transfer quarterbacks to be the starter, I feel like the last couple of times they've done it, they did it when they didn't really have an offensive coordinator in place, right? They brought in Max Brown in between Matt Canada and Sean Watson. They brought in, Keaton Slovis in between Mark Whipple and Frank Cignetti. Now they're bringing in Phil Dracovic with Cignetti already in place, and it's a transfer quarterback that was sort of handpicked by the existing offensive coordinator. And I don't think that's unimportant, because when you talk about fit for the offense and fit for the team and all that stuff, I mean, he's got the seal of approval from Frank Cignetti, who worked with him for a couple of years at Boston College. So you would think that you're giving yourself a better chance of success than they've had the last couple of times they've brought in transfer quarterbacks to kind of take over the offense. And then Christian Vieira coming out of Penn State, you know, pretty high pedigree guy coming out of high school. Obviously saw the writing on the wall in State College that he wasn't going to get that opportunity. So we went looking for a new spot. And yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he's coming in saying, I'm going to be the backup in 2023. I think he intends to fight for it and try and battle Phil Dracovic for that starting job this spring. But, you know, just the overall job of just rebuilding the room. I mean, it's a completely different room than it was a year ago. It's got a completely different look, and I'm intrigued to see how it works out for him.
Talking to Chris Peake from Panther Lair, and one of the things Chris does best is follow recruiting, and certainly not only locally, but the Rivals Network nationally. I want to ask you a question, and it's something that's been referenced as, you know, a portend of the future with the transfer portal. You know, Pitt obviously picks up Phil Dracovic. This is his third school, but he's back home. Donovan McMillan returns home. Obviously, there are others out there that have not chosen a home yet, but we look even a couple years back to MJ Devonshire. Do you see the WPIAL circuitous route to coming back to Pitt being a common thread moving forward? And if so, why?
It's been interesting to see. I mean, you know, you mentioned Devonshire already did it. Johnny Patrician did it too, went to Penn State for a couple years and came back. And then they have a few guys coming in this year. I think there's two ways it could go. I think the impact it can have on your local recruiting, because we know, I mean, Pitt has lost a lot of guys out of, you know, the local recruiting scene over the past few years. They get guys here and there, but, you know, they lost guys like Dracovic and McMillan, and, you know, you can go back through the classes and see the guys who sort of got away. And I think when you have these local guys who go away and then transfer back home and have success, I think there's a couple impacts it can have. On one hand, I think some of the local young guys, up-and-coming high school recruits, can look at it and say, huh, maybe MJ Devonshire should have just gone to Pitt in the first place instead of, you know, messing around in Kentucky for a couple years. Maybe Johnny Patrician should have gone to Pitt in the first place, or Dracovic or McMillan or whoever. And maybe that influences them to go to Pitt in the first place. Then the flip side is maybe they look at it and say, well, I could still go out, see the world, go play in the SEC or the Big Ten or wherever, and if it doesn't work out, I can always come home to Pitt like MJ did or Johnny did or Phil did. So I think it could be, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how it kind of influences things, if it has an impact on some of the young recruits who are coming up. But it does provide that opportunity. And the biggest thing, honestly, I think, is that it just gives Pitt more, in you know, reason not to burn bridges. Like, if a local kid doesn't commit to you, okay, you don't need to trash him. You don't need to be mean about him. You don't have to have a subtweet or anything like that. Just, you know, wish him well, let him go, and then if he wants to come home in a couple of years, you have an opportunity to get a good player. And I think that's, I don't know if Pat Narduzzi is going to take that lesson out of it, but it's probably like, you know, it's the same thing with decommitments or transfers or kids who get away, any of these things. Like, don't burn bridges, because there are enough ways for guys to come back around, things to come full circle, that you got to, you know, keep those doors open all the time.
You know, looking at traditional recruiting, you know, obviously this was a year in which there were some decommitments. I think the high school class kind of, it had finished up, you know, probably with a little less spunk than maybe they wanted, but there are some really good players that are in this class that I think have a chance to make an impact. And I wanted to ask you kind of your opinion when you look at guys like Jordan Bass, you know, some of the young receivers coming in. Who are some guys in this recruiting class, this 2023 class, that you think have a chance to make an instant impact?
I mean, as far as instant impact, I mean, I think, you know, the receivers will definitely, you know, a position that you look at. They just don't have a lot of numbers there right now. I think they're almost going to have to count on a freshman or two. I think last Saturday, the Pitt coaches were at the game, and they had some of these early enrolling guys. And Lamar Seymour, the kid from Miami, was there, and he's bigger than I expected. We list him at like 6 foot. He's got to be 6'1" or 6'2". He's a good size receiver. I think kind of an underrated receiver in the state of Florida. It's sort of a testament to the talent in Florida that this kid is only a 3-star. He's a really good player, and I think he's going to have a chance there. Jordan Bass is certainly somebody to keep an eye on. We'll see how the depth at linebacker comes together, but he was just a flat-out stud at his high school in Virginia, led him to a state championship. I don't think he lost a game in like 2 years or something like that. He's a great player. Isaiah Neal is a really interesting guy. He's a defensive tackle, an undersized defensive tackle out of Baltimore. I don't know if he'll find a role this season, but he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on for the future. And then, you know, I think we've all come to just sort of accept that this staff is going to do a good job in defensive back recruiting, and they did it again. I mean, Shadarian Harrison out of Florida is really good. Jesse Anderson out of Florida is really good. I think those two guys, and again, you have good depth in the secondary. You might not need them as freshmen, but they might be good enough to get their, you know, get themselves onto the field, special teams, maybe some, you know, defensive sub packages or something like that. I think they can find some snaps because they're really good DBs. And, you know, we always say it about the state of Florida, that there's just a ton of talent down there. And it's true that the guys like Shadarian Harrison, Jesse Anderson, Lamar Seymour, I mean, these guys, not to you know, steal the fans' line, but if you put these guys in Pennsylvania, they're probably dominating 4-star prospects. But it's just because they're in Florida where there's all these athletes, they maybe don't stand out as much. But I think they're going to be really good when they get to Pitt.
No doubt. Last one for you, talking to Chris Peake from Panther Lair. I mean, everyone has made the mistake of saying who's going to step up for the Pitt D line. They're losing all these guys. They're losing Kalijah Cansey. They're losing Habakkuk Baldonado. They're losing John Morgan. They're losing Deslin Alexander. We've all made that mistake. I refuse to make it again. With that being said, I think, you know, this coming year is one where some growth is going to be needed for this D line to continue to produce at the level that it's produced the last 3 seasons. You think I'm correct in that assessment?
Yeah, I definitely think this is a transition year for the D-line, where you're going to have a new crop of guys step up. Nekai Johnson, Deion Hayes has been out there a lot, but he's going to be in a primary role. Nekai Johnson's going to play a lot. Bam Burima, we've seen some of, but we're going to see a lot more of. You know, and even like a young guy like Sam Okunlola, who I think the staff is really excited about. He'll be a redshirt freshman this year, this coming season, but I think he's going to be, he's got a pretty high ceiling just at the DN spots. And then, it seems like those three older D tackles will come back, but you're going to need young guys to step up there too, whether it's Elliot Donald or Sean Fitzsimmons. They've still been recruiting those positions really, really well. It's just they've had guys stick around for a long time, and so they haven't necessarily had to move that youth up just yet. Well, now that time is coming, and I think this is going to be that year where you see a real kind of changing of the guard, particularly at defensive end. And like you said, I mean, we are all well past the point of betting against Charlie Partridge or even questioning him, I think, because he's going to, you know, he's very, very good at what he does, and I think we'll see it again this year.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you making time. I know next Saturday will be a fun day for you. You're going to have your eyes peeled on not only the basketball game, but the junior day, I think, is going on as well. In the recruit section of the Peterson Event Center. So we appreciate all the work you do. Your coverage of Pitt is unmatched, and thanks for making time this morning.
All right, thanks, Pat.
Here goes Chris Peek, Panther Lair. Does a great job, great insight. Really knows his ball, too. I mean, stats-wise, analytics-wise, he comes up with some stuff. He'll text me during the week, and I do it with attribution on the broadcast because he does great work. Get your Pitt football season tickets, too, by the way. They're shaping up to be some pretty good games coming up at Acrisure Stadium next season. Obviously, Cincinnati will come to town September 9th. That'll be a big game. Obviously, a top 25 team perennially the last several years. Obviously, new head coach coming over from Louisville with Scott Satterfield. But an old Big East game. That Florida State game, I think I saw Florida State's already started their Heisman campaign for Jordan Travis. So that may very well be in full swing. A top five preseason team with Mike Norvell and a returning slew of players for Florida State. That game would have heavy consequence. North Carolina, Drake May coming to Acrisure Stadium. Not too early to get your season tickets and get ready for 2023. It's Pitt basketball today, though. 3 o'clock tip, McCamus Pavilion. Atlanta, Georgia. Pitt takes on Georgia Tech. Billy Hillgrove, Curtis Aiken will have the call. On 93.7 The Fan, the home of the Pitt Panthers. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. PGT Trucking, Mac Discount, Voss TV and Appliance. Quite all your support. We appreciate it. Have a great day. Hail to Pitt.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.